In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, since we have the blessing of celebrating the entrance of the Holy Theotokos into the temple on a Sunday as a great feast day, I think it's important for us to understand what the real implications of this feast happened to be. Now, it was not set in stone in the church until the early 8th century. But 150 years before that, it had actually been established in Jerusalem because the Emperor Justinian the Great had a church dedicated to the Mother of God that was built on the site of Solomon's temple. And it was built and consecrated on November 21st. And so on that day, they started celebrating this feast of the entrance of the Mother of God into the temple, and then later, of course, once it got established in Constantinople, it spread all over the place. But it's important to know that this is a very, very theological feast. Okay, we should know the story by now. Joachim and Anna, who gave birth to the Mother of God in a miraculous manner because they were childless, and God blessed them with this little girl, and so they decided to dedicate her to the service of the Lord at a very early age. And in fact, it was going to be 2 years of age. But St. Anna decided no, because she did not want her daughter to be missing her parents too much. So they waited another year. And so at the age of 3, they took her to the Holy Temple, preceded by candles and the high priest Zacharias, who was also a prophet and was inspired by God to know something about this special little girl, actually took her up into the temple himself. And it said that when she got to the third step, she began dancing. She was so excited, so thrilled to be there, because as all the Holy Fathers tell us, she was fully, fully divinized by that very early age of 3 years. It shouldn't surprise us that she danced before the temple. Where else have we heard about this? Well, the holy prophet King David danced before the Ark of the Covenant, did he not? And so the Mother of God, who would become far greater than the ark ever was, is dancing on the steps of the temple. And Zacharias takes her all the way in into the third area, which was the Holy of Holies itself, where she would reside for 12 years. This had never been done before. St. Germanos of Constantinople wrote two beautiful sermons about the entrance of the Mother of God into the temple, and he talks about this, how this was something unique, and Zacharias was inspired to do that, because you had basically three different courts. You had the court of the Gentiles on the outside, then you go into the inside, and you had the court of the women, where many of the women who served the temple stayed, and then inside that was the court of the men, and then further in the place where the sacrifices were offered, and then further yet into the Holy of Holies itself. And this is where the Mother of God was taken. And it is told to us through the tradition of the church that she was fed by angels during that time. And again, many people hear this, they go, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. Fed by angels? Are you kidding? Can you believe the manna in the wilderness that God gave the Israelites? The food that he gave them, the miraculous food that he fed them with so they wouldn't starve. So why is it so difficult to believe that someone as important as the Mother of God, the supreme gift of all humankind to the Lord, would be fed by angels in the Holy of Holies? It's really not. It's really not at all. Because, again, if we go back to the theological implications of this, we have to understand that, and I've tried to emphasize this over the years, and I think it's a very, very important point. God doesn't do anything haphazardly or suddenly or cavalierly. Everything in connection with the appearance of Jesus Christ was prepared. Everything prepared very, very carefully. And the Mother of God's role in our salvation was no less than that. What does the Apologetikon for today tells us? That today is the prelude of God's goodwill, the prelude of what he wants to offer us, the prelude of his beloved. What does he say? What does the Lord say during the transfiguration and during the baptism? This is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Fathers tell us that this goodwill is Jesus Christ. And this is the beginning of it. This is the Virgin's announcement of salvation while she dances on those steps. That's why this is such a highly theological and important feast that too often gets kind of blown by. After all, we're on the cusp now of Christmas, aren't we? We've entered the Nativity Fast. Today we heard during the Orthros, Christ is born, glorify him, for the first time, as if to part that curtain a little bit to the Nativity that's coming. But before the Nativity can be, there has to be the Mother of God who enters into the temple today and establishes herself as the goal that all of us must also try and reach. St. Gregory Palamas is very clear that her entrance into the temple is something that shows us the three steps that we all go through, or that we should be going through, in order to achieve union with God. And that is what? Purification. First, purification. And that's shown by her being on the steps of the temple, because she was completely purified even at that young age. And then illumination as she enters in to the Holy of Holies. And finally, theosis itself, or theoria, as we sometimes call it, where God comes to her completely, and her will is God's will, and her desire is for nothing but God, and every breath that she takes is for God. This is what he wants for all of us. This is what he is saying to us during this feast day, that a human being who was chosen from before the ages, before the world began, the Mother of God was chosen by his foreknowledge of her virtues, that she would be the pinnacle of what creation has to offer. What do we say in the Christmas hymns? What shall we offer thee, O Christ? What shall we offer thee? The shepherds, their wonder, the wilderness, a cave. And it goes on and says, and we offer thee a virgin mother. So that's what's happening today, because she is someone who was prepared for this great, incredible role of entering the Holy of Holies, and by doing so, becomes the Holy of Holies herself. Because as God was present in the Ark of the Covenant, with the jar of manna, and with Aaron's staff, which blossomed, and with the tablets of the law, so she would be greater than that, because she would contain the uncontainable. That's what this big icon is. And here, that's what it's telling us. The Platitira, more spacious than the heavens. Her womb, human, confined, becomes more spacious than the heavens, because she contains the uncontainable God, he who in his essence enters into her and becomes human. This is extraordinary. This is the whole mystery of our salvation wrapped up right in this one great feast, that she is able to do this through the grace of God. And she attains that illumination, and she shows all of us, because my dear brothers and sisters, we go through this life and we struggle with all kinds of things. We all know what they are, right? Everybody's got their own struggles. We all go through crises and joys and sorrows and you name it. It's all wrapped up into one big ball that we call life. Everyone experiences this. But one of the things that we don't pay enough attention to is the absolute importance of understanding the glory and dignity that all of us have as human beings. As human beings, every one of us is stamped with the image of God. And that's never going to go away. We may roll in the mud all we want and clutter it up, but it's still there. It's still there. And Mary is showing us today, by her living in the temple, by preparing herself for the role that God gives her, in the same way we should be preparing ourselves for the role that God gives us, and how we can attain that union with Him. We may think it's impossible, but it's not. It's not. In every action that we take in our lives, if we will say, but glory to God for all things. Lord, bless me as I'm doing this. Lord, bless me as I'm doing that. Lord, help me as I go to help this person. Lord, help me as I know I'm getting fired today from my job. Glory to God for all things. We can't let go of that, because that's absolutely vital to who we are as Orthodox Christians. We of all people know this more than anyone else, the dignity of the human being. Because there's a whole swath of Christians that would just like to write off a whole other swath of Christians as not being worthy of God's grace, as somehow being worthy of being condemned. It's lunacy. It's nonsense. Today is the prelude of the goodwill of our salvation. Today, Mary demonstrates to the entire world the importance of the human being in the eyes of God, more important than anything else, more important than any other animal or fruits and vegetables or climate change or elections or anything. The human being is the one that stands at the top bearing this image of God. And we will be judged for how we respond to that, for how we cultivate that, how we take it, how we make it into something that is worthy of God's being part of us. Let's look at this wondrous icon today. And let's see, as the Theotokos, the God birth giver, as she enters into the place that it doesn't sanctify her as the temple sanctified everyone else to this point. She sanctifies that temple. And she does so because she agrees with God, loves God, becomes God-like, and is able to do that. That's the important message of this feast and why it's so wonderful that we can celebrate it on a Sunday this year. By her prayers, may all of us become worthy participants in the grace of God, so that we too can perhaps attain to just a portion of the grace that she receives on this day and blesses all of us with in her intercessions before the Lord. Amen.